Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. A question that comes up sometimes in people's minds is, what is the value of a human being? What's the value in life? And that's a question that probably people think about at some point in life, especially towards the end of a person's life. They can wonder about what it was all for, what's next. And those are very important questions to consider and to answer. Science cannot provide a satisfying answer to that question, to those questions. Science really can only observe the basics, that a person is born, they live for a time, and then they die. And that's something we can all observe. But we have to go to the Bible for knowledge that we can't just obviously observe with our physical senses. The Bible is the foundation of knowledge. And when we look in the Bible, we see that God reveals knowledge that is beyond man's ability to discover for himself. And that includes the vital knowledge of what man is and what he is to become. Those are things that we need to understand. What is the value of man, and what will they become going forward? Notice a passage here in John 3. We have a few Bible passages to go through today. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be good to get it out. We can look at these scriptures together. Jesus Christ here, speaking in John 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 6. And he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Here's a quote from Lesson 5 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, free course at thetrumpet.com. It says, "Man is composed of flesh, and Jesus plainly says that if one is born of, and therefore composed of flesh, he cannot also at the same time be born of or composed of spirit. He must be one or the other. So this verse alone is strong evidence that man is not an immortal spiritual soul that lives in a body of mortal flesh and blood." So Christ is clear here. There are those that are born of flesh, and there are those born of spirit. Now, clearly mankind is born of flesh. We can observe that. Science can observe that. But in the future, at the resurrection, mankind will be born of spirit. And of course, there's different resurrections. And we have plenty of information on that at thetrumpet.com in case you haven't studied much into that subject. But the first fruit resurrection there, for those that are growing in God's character today and are called according to God's purpose, they're going to be born of spirit. And that opportunity is going to be opened up to all of mankind. Everybody will have a chance to be born into the family of God. Today, man is flesh, but he will have an opportunity to be born of the Spirit. Let's consider what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7. And just think about Paul here for a minute. Paul was an apostle. He was serving God very powerfully. But was he born of the Spirit while doing that? Well, let's see what he says. Notice Romans 7 and verse 18. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." So Paul was having this battle because he was battling against sin, and he was conquering it with God's help. But he was saying here, look, I know that in me, in my flesh, he was flesh. Paul was born of the flesh. and was still in the flesh, of course, even while serving God as an apostle. However, when he is resurrected, then he will be born of the Spirit. At that time, he will be spirit, and that means the spirit body as well. It's a wonderful future ahead. Again, notice this quote from Lesson 5 of the Correspondence Course. It says, Paul did not distinguish between himself and his flesh in this verse. He indicated that they were one and the same. He was flesh. He understood that truth that Jesus Christ taught in John 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Paul was flesh. He understood that. But he also understood that God's plan is that he would be born of the Spirit after a resurrection. See, the value in man is our potential to be resurrected into the spirit family of God. And man does not have an immortal soul. That's something that many people have been confused on. But they don't. We don't. Christ said that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Consider Jesus Christ's own example. I mean, he went through the process already. Jesus Christ was born a human being. Of course, he was the Word before then, but he did come to this earth through a human birth. His mother Mary gave birth to him. He was born of the flesh and became flesh just like us. He then was crucified and died. And he lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And after that time, he was resurrected and he was born of the Spirit. He went through the entire process. We can just look at his life and see that he already went through it. He was going ahead and doing it first. The firstborn of many brethren. There's going to be many more to follow. Christ did it first. We can look at that example. When Christ was flesh on this earth, well, that's what he was. He was flesh. But then at the resurrection, he was born of the Spirit. And there are others, of course, who have died, many, and they'll be in the grave for longer than just 3 days and three nights like Christ was. But they too will be resurrected. Christ went through the process of being born of the flesh, dying, and then being resurrected and being born of the Spirit at that time. So Jesus Christ taught that process to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And we read a little bit about that, but let's look at some more of it here. Christ's teaching, and this is in John 3. John 3 really is a wonderful section of Scripture where Jesus Christ expounds on this basic truth, but yet it's a truth that people have been very confused about because, of course, Satan hates it. He doesn't want people to understand the potential that they have. Notice John 3, and we'll read verses 6 through 8. Here again, he's talking to this Pharisee, Nicodemus. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. See, he's telling him, look, you're going to go through this same process. You're going to be born again. You're going to be born spirit. And then Christ goes on to explain it even more directly and tries to relate it to Nicodemus and to us in a way that we could understand it. Verse 8, the wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Well, that's pretty clear. I mean, it's different than being born of the flesh. He uses the example of the wind. You know, even now as I record this, I can look out my window and there's some little shrubs and trees and the wind's blowing them around. I can see that they're moving, but I can't see the wind. I can't see it with my physical eyesight. Well, when people are spirit, when they're born of the Spirit, then they're no longer flesh anymore. If there was a human being out there by that tree holding the branches and moving it around, well, I'd see them. Yeah, that person's born of the flesh. But it's just the wind moving those branches. I can't see it. Christ is trying to teach us about what it means to be born of the Spirit. We can't see it. But he told Nicodemus here, he said, marvel not, marvel not. You know, you're having a hard time understanding this because, you know, you're limited to just thinking about physical things and observations. But look, this is the truth. And people can't believe it. Nicodemus, he couldn't believe it. He said, how can these things be? How can this be? But it's the truth from God. And again, like we talked about in the beginning, we have to go to God's word in the Bible to understand things that we cannot observe with our senses. Christ is teaching about what it's like to be spirit. And Nicodemus says, well, how can that be? He couldn't believe it. And that's the truth today too. Well, many people will hear this message or read this message in one of our writings, and they think, well, how can that be? Because they've never been taught that, or they've been taught, you know, a false idea about an immortal soul. But here Christ is very clear that man is flesh today, but will be born of the Spirit at a resurrection. And notice what Christ did. So just keep in mind what he said to Nicodemus here about how, you know, the wind blows where it lists, and you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit? Okay, well, Christ was born of the flesh, and they interacted with him as a human. But then he was born of the Spirit, and they also interacted with him. And we can learn something about this. And again, Christ went through the process already, so we can see what happened to him. John 20 and verse 19. Let's read a little bit here in John 20. This is after he's been crucified and died and resurrected and born of the Spirit. Verse 19, John 20 and verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. The doors were shut. Nobody's getting in there. And all of a sudden, here's Christ. Well, how's that possible? Well, he was spirit. He didn't do those things when he was just flesh. You know, he didn't just appear and disappear and all of that, but here he's doing it. It's pretty amazing to read about, and you can read more details in other gospel accounts. But remember, he said, well, the wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. Now, Christ here was manifesting himself physically again so they could see him and talk to him, but he just shows up. The doors were shut. They were afraid. They didn't want to let anybody in. And all of a sudden, there's Jesus Christ in their midst, because he's born of the Spirit. Can you do that? Can I do that? It'd be fun if we could, but I can't. And you can't either, because you're not born of the Spirit. Neither am I. We're still flesh. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So he manifested himself again in a way where they could see that he had, in fact, been crucified. And they could look at some of those areas. And so he needed to show them that it was him, or else they would have been terrified. And they were terrified at times. And he had to get them to calm down and realize it was Jesus Christ they were dealing with, the resurrected Jesus Christ, who was born of the Spirit. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So he was giving them their job, their commission that they had. Drop down to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He missed out on this. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, well, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. See, Thomas here was like a lot of people are at times. They're like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. You remember Nicodemus? He's like, well, how can this be? I'll believe it when I see it. A lack of faith at this time. And verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Well, why does it talk about the doors being shut? Because again, Jesus Christ just shows up. He just shows up. because he's born of the Spirit. He can just pop into a room and pop out of a room. He doesn't have to go through the doors. Now, you can't do that today, and I can't either, because we're born of the flesh. And Christ, so just think, he was telling Nicodemus about how the spirit world is, at least in a way that, you know, Nicodemus could wrap his head around it somewhat, and it helps us as well. And then Christ is an example of it. He's resurrected, born of the Spirit, and he just pops in and he pops out as he needs to for the job that he has. And Thomas is able to see the resurrected Jesus Christ, again, manifested in a certain way. Christ, obviously, if he showed all of his power, it would have been too much for them to handle. But he manifests himself in a certain way here. You can do that when you're spirit, when you have that power, and Christ did. Verse 27, then said he to Thomas, "Oh, reach here your finger, and behold my hands, and reach here your hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." So there's a faith problem here. Nicodemus also had a faith problem. He said, how can this be? Thomas said, well, I don't believe it. So many people today will just say, well, I don't believe it. You mean that man could be resurrected and be a spirit and be a God being? I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, that's the same attitude that Thomas had for a while, that Nicodemus had at a time anyway. And verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I think he was probably pretty corrected by this, realizing he had, you know, made a big proclamation there. Well, I'll believe it when I see it, and so forth. And, you know, I need to touch his hands and his side and all of that. And he sees, oh, wow. I mean, they were telling me the truth. He is resurrected. But notice what Jesus Christ says in verse 29. Jesus says unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You haven't seen this yet. You haven't seen these things. I haven't seen these things. I haven't seen the spirit realm. I'm flesh. I've seen flesh. But I can also read this and read what Jesus Christ told Nicodemus and read this truth here. And read what he says to Thomas. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Can we believe the word of God? If we do, we'll be blessed. That's what it says. Instead of doubting God's words, let's have faith in his promises. Mankind is flesh today, born of the flesh. And yes, we all die at some point. And that's somewhat concerning, of course. But then the resurrection. And for those in the first resurrection, we will be born of the Spirit, just like Jesus Christ was and is. He lives. And we have to remember these words of Christ. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. If you'd like to learn more about mankind's incredible potential, we have a book titled The Incredible Human Potential. It's free at thetrumpet.com. Also, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, especially this particular lesson, lesson number 5. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.